Welcome to the world's greatest podcast, Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic. I'm Seth Greenberg. Actually, it is the world's greatest podcast. Today, on today's podcast, we're talking to Iowa head coach Fran McCaffrey. We're going to ask him about his dust up with Illinois assistant Ron Coleman this weekend. Can we just all coach our own team? This is a classic Courtside. We've got a big name who's in the headlines, and we're going to get to the bottom of what happened. Not a lot really happened. And then we'll talk about his team, which in a lot of ways is one of the best teams in the country. They can flat out score the basketball. Before we get started, I want to remind you to subscribe and rate and review the podcast wherever you're listening. It really helps us and helps other people find the show. And who wouldn't want to find the show? And tell a friend about the world's greatest podcast and tweet us using the hashtag Courtside. We bring it every week. Real talk. It's not that coach speak. It's real. It's genuine. It's cutting. We have great guests. What else can you ask for? And also, check out the Woj Pod. Let's face it, its trade deadline is Thursday. He's got an episode up right now with Brian Windhorst. He's going to churn out another pod before the deadline. And of course, he'll have you covered after the deadline passes 3 p.m. on Thursday. There's no one more connected than Woj in the NBA. This is the week to listen. Download and subscribe to the Woj Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, before we get started, let's talk to about our friends at Vivid Seats. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band or being in a crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program, you can attend the contest or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events. You can sort by price, or you can look seats in the section you want, the row you want, your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. And when you make your next purchase, enter the code ESPN25 for a 10% off your next order. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theaters and shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats royalty program today. And don't forget to use the promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get your favorite seats to your favorite live events.
For the win! Yes! Yes!
At the buzzer, they've poured on its way!
Oh, 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 oh my goodness! Oh!
They have to get it. No timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to Courtside, the world's greatest podcast known as Courtside. It is not the definitive. It's definitive is good. World's greatest is a tad better, I think. If you want real basketball talk, none of the BS, none of the posturing, none of the agendas, just kind of the way it is, you tune in to Courtside, the world's greatest podcast with my good friend Dan Dokic. D squared. How is life? I got to quit. Did you get some sun on the dome this weekend?
Yeah, I did. I took my hat off too when I was playing tennis with the lovely Lee Ross Dokic, and I took my hat off at the Waste Management Open. My thanks. Remember our friend Ryan Burr? Fantastic.
Yes,
with ESPN.
Ryan Burr.
Boy,
yes.
Did he take care of me. I was in the Golf Channel suite on the 16th.
Whoa.
Hole. We're booing people that didn't get it close to the hole. We're not messing around. And 260,000 people that day, Seth, at the Waste Management in Scottsdale, and it was a bucket list kind of thing, and it was awesome, and I thank Ryan Burr.
America's guest. All right, so you're thanking Ryan Burr, and let's just go over a couple things, all right? We're going to have Fran McCaffrey on in a short bit, but let's go over a couple things, all right? So Iowa beats Illinois, heated game, good basketball game, road win, you know, a really, really solid win, and the coaches are shaking hands at the end of the game, you know, Iowa throws out of a double team, and Joe Wieskamp goes and dunks it. Okay, whoopee, who cares? And in the handshake line, all of a sudden there was all kinds of ruckus. What is your take on that? Because my take is real simple. Coach your own team. I mean, it's just plain and simple. Why do these coaches lose their minds, all right, after a game, you know, if a guy goes in for a layup or if a guy steals the basketball or whatever? You know what? Coach your own team. Don't worry about the other guys. Control your controllables. You say?
Absolutely. Ron Chin Coleman needs to just walk off. If you don't want teams to play, then don't play the damn game. It's like when I used to play pickup basketball game, guy'd go to the bucket, he'd get fouled, was all right, fouled, and then the guy'd get mad. I'm like, look, dude, if you don't want to get fouled, then shoot threes. I mean, if you don't want to play, if you're going to be some kind of assistant that just gets mad because the game's going on, the other team steals the ball, lays it in, what are you doing? I get it. You know, you're frustrated because you're mad. This guy never played at this level, this guy Chin, so he doesn't know. I mean, if you don't want to play 40, don't trap, don't keep playing. Just tell everybody, hey, look, we're done playing. And I'm tired of assistant coaches. I'm tired of guys whining. We saw it with the brawl. I'm just tired of it. Just be quiet. You lost. Walk off. Good for Wieskamp. Good for Iowa. Bad for you. Live to fight another day. Illinois is having a great year. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, you're bringing that just negative tension to your team and your program.
It's just
and
dumb.
And like, here's the deal. If there was an issue, and again, look, then Brad Underwood would address it with Fran. He's right. In charge of the program. You know, like here's the deal. People say, well, you know, these guys work hard to recruit players. I understand. Look, assistants, look, you can't run a program without good assistant coaches. Here's the deal. The head coach creates the vision for the program. The head coach is the face of the program. The head coach is the one that basically sends the message, and delivers the message. So, you know, to me, it's just mind boggling. Look, the Big Ten's a great conference. It's going to be great games. They're going to be competitive games. You know, things are going to happen. Coach your own stinking team. Yeah. And then because Fran's involved with it, and we know Fran's a Philly guy, and we're going to talk about him to him about this. He's fiery. He's tough. He's going to fight for his guys. He's going to stand up. He's going to compete. Then he reacts. I actually thought he did a good job because there's no sense in continuing the handshake line. Now, here's a bigger question. Do you believe in the handshake line?
No, God, no. I believe in the handshake line if there's a mom at the end of the line giving out treat tickets. I never understood. I never even knew there was a handshake line. Never had one when I played. Never had one until, I don't even know. It's the dumbest thing ever. It doesn't show anybody's sportsmanship. It doesn't. Nobody gives a rat's ass what happens after the game. Oh, my God, kids, look at the sportsmanship. Shut up. Hey, nice to see you. Goodbye. Remember, as a freshman, my college teammate played for Purdue. He started. I started Indiana. Game was over. We hugged at center court. I went to my locker room. He went to his. Get rid of the damn handshake line.
We're going to have a disagreement. Idiot. Here's my deal. Here's the deal. Here's the thing about the handshake line. If you can't show enough self-discipline to just, you know, if you don't want to walk through it, you just want to kind of give you, like, look, we all know the great handshakes. We got the wet fish. We got the shoulder pat. We got the blow-by. You know, good game, good game, good game, game, good. That's fine. Look, if you don't want to do it, then just, you know, walk by and just pat the guy and keep on going. But, like, here's the thing. You telling me you just played 40 minutes. You can't have enough. Like, people say, well, the reason we're having all these problems is the handshake line. You don't have enough self-control just to walk by after 40 minutes and say, hey, you know, all right, I'll see you next time.
It's not mutually exclusive. It's not I don't have enough self-control. One isn't mutually exclusive of the other. I just think it's idiotic. I mean, it drove me nuts. You know,
you think it's sophomoric.
I think it's idiotic. I think it's one of these deals like, look, nobody panders better than the NFL. It's just one of these pandering things that college sports do to make it look like, oh, we're all such sportsmen. And it's
you like the NBA model. You like the NBA model. You want to see a guy. But I know what you don't like. You don't like you compete against the guy all game, and then you're trading jerseys and smiling.
No, that's just – that's if I lose, I want to be miserable. And if you're not miserable, why am I paying to watch you? It's not entertainment. It's competition. And I think there's a big difference. Seth, I get why you and other people want it. It's just simply a difference of opinion. But I just – man, I used to stop halfway through – because, you know, you're shaking hands with all these players that look at you and or look away. They don't even look. And I'm like, screw this. I'm going back in the locker room. I'm not wasting my time with these guys. I just and against you when we won on a tip-in, I just ran off the damn court.
You did run off the court.
Yeah, dude, I saw Teddy Valentine. Get out of here. I'm out.
Yeah, Dockage out. That was good. I'll tell you what. If the handshake line continues,
yes,
and the Big Ten's a proposal to the NCAA about immediate eligibility, one-time exemption, transfer exemption, you're going to see the handshake line make a comeback, especially when you play those early season games, those guarantee games, and you're playing against a mid-major team and that guy just dropped 30 on you. You might see home visits in those handshake lines.
Oh, there's no question about that. You might see, like, you know, those little things that you plug into your computer that basically are full of information. You may see guys handing off their media guides to guides in the handshake line. You know, the $100 handshake becomes the propaganda for recruiting in the handshake line. Oh, there's no question. Oh.
I mean, you play a November game and an early December game against some MAC team and some guy drops about 30. He's a junior and you know he wants to come back and he wants to play at a higher level. Go, big boy, here you go. Look at this atmosphere. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it.
There's no question, Seth. Again, it goes against everything that I've said and the NCAA is screwing this up. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I've always said, get rid of the notion that we're doing everything for student athletes. Say that we are doing everything to build the greatest institutions, and basketball is a huge part, football is a huge part. We're going to get the best professors, the best coaches, the best teachers, the best TAs, the best deans, the best facilities. And if you want to come be a part of that, great. If you don't, but we cater to 18 to 22-year-olds because, well, quite frankly, somebody might put on Twitter that you're a bad guy if you don't cater to an 18 to 22-year-old. That's all the Big Ten's doing, just simply more catering. You think the Big Ten cares even a little bit about a player leaving the MAC and coming to the Big Ten, football, basketball, baseball, any sport, and becoming a great player? Hell no. Big Ten cares about the Big Ten. Big boys care about the big boys, and that's all there is to it, Seth Greenberg.
That's what I'm talking about. And you know who we care about? We care about Fran McCaffrey.
Yes, we do.
You know what? Because Fran McCaffrey he's a guy that has a little fire in him. He's a Philly dude. I mean, he's a guy that, quite honestly, what he's been able to do at Iowa and the consistency and how good they are now, my man Garzilla is taking over college basketball. And in my opinion, I think he's player of the year in the country. Now, I don't know if he's going to win it, but in terms of efficiency, how hard he plays, the guy plays, takes no plays off. He holds a post position. He can score right from the basket. He shoots 40 from the three. He runs the court hard every single time. Like, what doesn't my man Garzilla do?
Nothing. And you know what? He plays hard. And if you don't play hard against him, you get smacked. And if you don't play hard with him, and they have a bunch of dudes, I think, that play hard with him. I do. I think Fran's son, Connor, plays really hard with him. I think Wieskamp plays really hard with him. I think Toussaint plays really hard with him. All I'm saying,
they got an edge to him.
I think they got,
and we got Fran McCaffrey on the line right now with us. Coach McCaffrey, how is life? I'm sure it is wonderful.
Well, we'll see how wonderful it is tomorrow. How about that?
Oh, that's the half glass. That's unbelievable. I mean, that's the difference between Fran and you and me, Dan. Because like the glass is half full every single for us. There's Fran. The glass is half empty. It's doom and gloom. We might not win another game.
Right. Right. Hey, Coach, why are you fighting with assistants?
I was a little confused, to be honest with you. I didn't understand why anybody was upset, and then I might have had a few retorts.
Sure,
it's no biggie. You know, I mean, it's a hard fought game, a lot of back and forth. I was surprised, but you know what I typically do in situations like that, if there's any tension at all, we go to the locker room, you know, because, you know, the handshake line's a great thing, but it's not a great thing in situations like that. We don't need anybody getting out of line. you know, little John is one thing, but we don't need anybody throwing punches or anything like that. Get to the locker room and move on.
I love when you say a Penn graduate's confused. That must be, it's really complicated. It's like Penn graduates don't get confused so easily. What are these people going to understand? Like, all right, you got to help me with this. Give me a definition. What's a Philly guy?
Well, I think it starts with, you know, it's a synonym for he's a good guy. You know, he's a guy that has a sense of humor. He doesn't take himself too seriously. He kind of gets it. And there's so much basketball. I mean, it's really amazing. And you go back, you know, to the Jack Ramseys and Jack McKinney's and Jack Kraft. And,
Why is it one name, Jack?
The Fran Dunphy's and Fran O'Hanlon's and, you know, Pat Chambers. There's so many Philly guys. And it's an interesting dynamic because they're all from Philly, and then in the summertime they all go down to the Jersey Shore. They either play over in Avalon or 34th Street in Ocean City, and you just see all the. You go back to the days of Billy Melchione. He'd be at the 34th Street courts with Rick Barry. He's not a Philly guy, but he played with Billy. Billy's a Philly guy. I mean, it's just a lot of families, a lot of history, a lot of tradition, and.
Do Philly guys have an edge, though? I mean, like Philly guys are basketball bennies. Jimmy, you forgot my man Jimmy Lyon. I'm also Kid Lyon. He's the ultimate Philly guy. But I mean, like people don't understand. Like Philly guys love ball and are fiercely competitive. Yes or no?
No question. And they do have an edge. And the reality is, you know, Danny played with an edge. You know, believe it or not, I actually remember when you played, Seth.
I was just bad, but I played with an edge.
but the bottom line is you have to if you want to be successful. You know, it's we talk about, okay, you got to compete. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means you got to have enough physicality in you, and you've got to think the game to a point where you don't get rattled with physicality or trash talk or the trappings of the game. The importance of the game in the league standings, you know, it's almost irrelevant. You play the game the same way, and you know, you always see a competitive edge. He's got an edge to him. Yeah, but you can't get sideways with it. You know, okay, so now, you know, I'm going against Danny, and it becomes personal, and I forget to do what I'm supposed to do, and then I just jaw, and then we push, and I lose my mind, and we forget the game plan, and Dan's team wins. You can have an edge to you, but you got to stay focused on what the task at hand is. And I do agree with you, Seth. I think Philly guys have an edge, but I think we have a purpose and an understanding of what's necessary.
Hey, Coach, do you think your team has that same edge? Feels like it.
We do. We certainly have had it. You know, and the reason why I said what I said initially is, you know, our theme here is we never get too high, we never get too low, because we respect the next team that's coming in, especially this year of any year in the history of certainly my career anyway. Let's keep it at that. I mean, I've been in this league 10 years. It's been brutal every year, but by far this is the best top to bottom. Every team is really good. Every team is a great coach, great players, intense atmosphere. And, you know, you win a couple close games and you feel like you've arrived. And you can lose a couple close games and you feel like we're never going to win again. But the reality is that fine line is so small at this level, in this league. And so you have to remain concentrated and focused, and you have to have that edge, but it's got to be directed in the right way.
Let's talk about your team, because I love your team. And you know, let's start with, like, Luca Garza, my man Garzilla. All right, you're recruiting a guy. He played for Chuck Drizzell in high school, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Like, that dude is the best player in the country right now, in my opinion, and I think Dan agrees. Like, what did you see in him, and what has his transformation been like?
It's interesting because the first time I saw him play, I was in Atlanta with my son Connor. They were playing in a provisional. They were a provisional EYBL team, which is on the Nike circuit, which you guys know. So they're down there playing Iowa team. They're deciding whether to give the Iowa team a contract or not. So they're going up against a really good team. So they're playing Team Takeover, which is arguably one of the best. And so the game starts. I'm just there watching my son. He's a sophomore in high school. Game starts. I mean, it's an intense game. And they, and Luka didn't start. And unbeknownst to me, he had been hurt. So they put him in, and he was, at that time, a wide-body kid. He was probably 260, 265 pounds, which is a big kid for a sophomore in high school at 6'11". So he starts draining threes, and he starts banging people around, and he's running as hard as he can. And I'm saying to myself, this guy is going to be tremendous. You know, so I'm only allowed to watch games that my son is playing in. So I can't watch the whole tournament. They happen to play each other. So I went back and told my assistant, I saw this big kid in, you know, he's from D.C. And so then we go to the Elite 100, Nike Elite 100 in St. Louis, where Connor was playing. And Frank Garza is there, you know, Luka's dad. And so I'm again, I mean, you know, Connor's playing with Lamar Stevens and Michael Porter Jr. And I mean, these are the guys that are there. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, here he goes again. So, you know, we offered him early. He came out for an unofficial visit. Ironically enough, guys, he came out a weekend where we played a basketball game on Friday night, had 15,000 people. Saturday afternoon, we had a wrestling match outdoors on the football field that had 43,500 people. And that night we had 70,000 people for a football game. So he was really impressed with what he saw and hit it off with the guys, watched practice. And, you know, I think we really pushed up on him and said, hey, like, we want you. Like, this is not a – we kind of like you. We, you know, we want you. We're sold on you. And at that time, there weren't many high major schools sold on him. And then subsequent to that summer is when he lost all the weight. Now, when he lost all the weight, he had to sort of reinvent himself. He had to put weight back on in a different way, and he had to train physically to run differently and move differently. And it was a transformation. It took a little bit of time, but you could see it coming. And, you know, by the end of the next summer, he had offers from everybody. And, but remembered, you know, his visit here you know, he got invited to the NBA Top 100 camp. He was like a last guy in. They weren't sure they were going to invite him. And he goes down there and makes the All-Star team. I mean, that's just kind of who he is. Played for a great high school coach, Chuck Drizel. Chuck was at the Maryland game the other night. I got a chance to visit with him. Really worked hard to help him get better. But would train like no one else, guys, that I've ever really been associated with. And you think about it, I've been in this game a long time. He trains differently than everybody else when it comes to preparation, hard work, agility, get in the weight room, get in the gym, work on moves, work on shooting, work on left shoulder, right shoulder, sikpa, drop step, worthy, rip and drive. And, you know, at the end of the day, he's a guy that never takes a possession off, whether it be in practice or in games. Coach, and those guys are hard to find.
Coach, didn't he run the volcanoes this summer? Is that what you told me?
Well, when he used to, what happened is at the end of the sort of AAU season, which was typically the last week of July, a lot of teams, or most teams, about 3,500 teams would end in Vegas, and a lot of kids would go home and want to take a deep breath, and school's starting in a couple weeks. He would immediately go from Vegas to Hawaii and train with Luka's father's college coach who lived there. And he would wear weighted vests, and he would run up volcanoes and really, like I said, reinvented his body. And so what you're seeing now is 4 years of really hard work, starting as a young kid. And it's just great to see somebody put in that kind of time and effort and then get the reward from it. And at the same time, guys, remain as humble as anybody you'll ever meet. And I think that speaks to who he is and his family.
He's really good, but I think your team is good. I mean, like, when you sit there and you say, like, you know, sometimes you know, the next game's the most important game, you think, are we ever going to win another game? But you say, I really like my team, but, like, your team is as good as any team in the country because you dudes can flat score. What's the but? What's the thing that keeps you up at night?
Well, you know, I think a lot of our scoring is coming from three guys. But that said, you look at the other five guys that are playing, they can all score. And they all have different aspects to their game. And I think for us to maximize this opportunity, it's going to come from those five guys. We know what Garza, Wieskamp, and Frederick are going to do. They're special. You know, I think Connor's a guy that has had a spectacular year considering he started the season as a point guard, is now our starting four man, plays a lot at the two spot. So he started the four spot, played the two spot the other day against one of the best teams in the country, and then ended the game at the point. You know, he's first in the country in assist turnover. He's one of the few guys, if you look at stats, he actually has more steals than turnovers. So he's a glue guy and all that, but an integral part of our team. And when he's scoring the ball the way he did the other day, it makes a big difference. You know, but you look at a guy like Bakari Evelyn. You know, what he did against Cincinnati. We don't beat Cincinnati if he doesn't play the way he played. Ryan Kreener against Michigan, same thing. Joe Toussaint, Rutgers, phenomenal. And so what we need is for those guys to continue to be consistent along with Cordell Pemsel, because Cordell Pemsel against Northwestern on the road, maybe the biggest difference in the game. So that's what you need. You need a team. You know, it starts with, okay, you got the best player in the country. That's a great place to start. And then we have two phenomenal shooters that are mentally tough and can get buckets in a lot of different ways. But what is the rest of your team doing? How do they prepare? How do they work? How do they compete? Do they understand how to share the ball and the importance of it? They all know who the big fella is, and we're getting them the ball. And, I think it's a group that's committed to one another, and those are great qualities when you're trying to, you know, finish the season strong and then hopefully advance to the NCAA tournament.
And people forget Jordan Bohannon, who's going to set a lot of records at your place, played about five games, and then he had the red shirt. He had a choice to make, right?
He did. He played 10.
10.
He knew he was either going to try to finish the season or have surgery on the other hip. So he's coming off surgery on the one hip. And he thought maybe he could make it. He was really good in the Texas Tech game. He was really good in the Syracuse game. He was really good at Iowa State. But he, you know, at the start of the season, he was not himself coming off that surgery. So by having the surgery now gives him more time to get back to where he wants to be. And you're right, Dan, he's the all-time leading three-point shooter in Iowa history and has a legitimate shot to be the all-time three-point shooter in Big Ten history, which would be an amazing accomplishment. You know, Jack Nungy blew his knee out the second game. He was probably our second-best player this summer. And, Dan, you know him well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good player. I felt terrible for him because he really worked last year. He redshirted to get stronger. We had a little bit of a log jam with playing time, and he just said, I'm going to redshirt, I'm going to get strong, I'm going to come back. And he killed it this summer and fall, earned a starting position, and he goes down that second game. And then, you know, Patrick, who's probably our highest-rated recruit, obviously, you know, dealing with the, you know, the health issues he's had with cancer and so forth and trying to figure out how to get his body right, doing a lot of things. And he's actually doing well and getting better. So, you know, all three of those guys will come back next year. So, you know, obviously looking really good there, but right now we're just focused on the next one and trying to continue on the same path that we've been on.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a pretty good path, Fran, because you guys do something that a lot of teams don't do today. You guys score. How much time, like, finish with this, how much time do you spend? You guys run really good motion. You guys are unselfish. You cut hard, you screen, you make the next pass. How much time do you spend teaching it, breaking it down, or is it more like conceptually in a big picture whole? Because, I mean, like, You guys have a dude who can shoot it, but you guys, I mean, you guys move the basketball and play offense and play fast.
You know, I think that's a great point, Seth. And I think the critical thing is the first thing you said, which was, you know, you have an unselfish group. You can teach motion. I mean, Dan played in motion, you know, for Coach Knight. He knows what motion is. You know what motion is. It's ball movement and screening with a purpose. So what we're constantly teaching is, all right, you're going to set a screen. Where are you sending that guy? What is the screening angle? All right, you're moving without the ball. Where's your man? Where exactly is the ball? Is he above you? Is he below you? Did he turn his head? So you're making cuts with a purpose. And then getting it swung side to side. So you're moving the defense. Are they switching? Are they staying with? How are they playing ball screens? Well, that's going to impact how you move the ball. So it's understanding those concepts. But at the end of the day, it's never, okay, I got to get mine. Okay, this motion's great, but I got to get my shots. I got to get my points. It's never that. It's how do we score? And as long as you have that mentality and you have smart kids, yeah, they're going to make some mistakes, but they're buying in. You know, we work on it every day. We teach it every day. We reinforce it every day. And then we go back and look at film. Okay, you could look at this. You could have done this. You could have done that. What were you thinking on this play? What did you see? And it's those kinds of discussions that I think help you continually get better.
Coach, I got to tell you, man, it's fun to watch. Keep it rolling, man. It's like Seth said, just being able to score and cutting and moving is different and fun to watch. And got to be great coaching your son, Coach. Thanks for the time, man. I know you got to fly out.
Always a pleasure with you guys. Really appreciate both of you.
All right, buddy.
There's a Philly guy. Philly guy. Let's go, baby.
Everyone, hey, everyone.
You don't know anything about
that. Oh, stop it. Everybody's named Fran. Fran O'Hara. Fran McCaffrey. Fran Billy. Hey, Billy this. Billy that. Jesus.
We have a lot of Fran. Fran O'Hara. Fran Dumphy. Fran McCaffrey. We got a lot of Fran.
Right. There's a ton of friends.
No love for Kid Lyon. That's a big five slight right there. I'm just telling you.
Well, I don't blame him.
I'll tell you what. He's one of the best. I saw him do a clinic one time. Well, first of all, I played against his teams, which was hard enough. But he was coaching at St. Joe's. Did an unbelievable job there. And then for the Sixers, he's beloved as a Sixers person because he's been there a lot. But, I mean, I saw him do a clinic one time, Seth. You can appreciate this. The old Eastern Invitational Camp. One of the best clinics I ever saw.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you know, you're a college coach. You're there watching kids, and you got an option. You go to lunch, or you stay and sit and watch somebody do a clinic. And I said, you know what, Jimmy Lynam's going to speak. I'm going to sit here and watch this thing. And boy, was that awesome,
Kid Lynam, the best. Franny, keep it going, man. Keep scoring buckets. Tell my man, Wee's Camp. I said, what's up?
I will tell him. All right, guys, take care.
Hey, this is Dan Dockage, and we got to talk about my friends at 5-Hour Energy. Anyone who travels frequently knows how tiring it can be. Whether you're on business or on a vacation, a 5-Hour Energy shot can help you stay alert and energized wherever you may be headed. 5-Hour Energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life. Zero sugar, 4 calories, and a convenient portable size. It's the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hardworking people. Now it comes in 2 great extra strength topical taste, strawberry banana, tropical burst. They're delicious, and you've got to give them a try. Try them both. Go online to shop the number 5hourenergy.com. Use the code courtside to receive a one-time offer of 10% off your order. Go to shop 5hourenergy.com and use the code courtside to receive a one-time offer of 10% off. 5-Hour Energy, energy on the go. Fraschilla, is he a Philly guy? No, he's
a Brooklyn guy. He's a Brooklyn guy.
Brooklyn guy. Couch.
Couch. Here's the question, D-Squared. Couple questions for you. Let's get a little conversation going here. All right?
Yep.
Let's go number one. Wendy's Wooden Watch. Do you who your any snubs that didn't get on the Wendy's Wooden Watch top 20? I have 2 snubs.
Give me your snub. Go ahead.
My snub is John Mooney. I mean, like the guy, he wasn't going to win it, but he should have been in the top 20. Well, you agree with that?
1,000%. I did it one of his games, and it's ridiculous the impact that he has. I don't understand how a guy with that numbers, what's he at, 13 and a half rebounds a night? How can't you be in there? He wakes up and gets 10 rebounds. I mean, and then you just figure out, is he going to get 20 or 15? I mean, and he's, you know what I like about John Mooney, if we can just take 1 second, Seth? I like the fact that he's really proved his game, man. He was a guy that didn't come in with, you know, he didn't start. He was sixth, seventh, eighth man, whatever, and just kept working. And now he's a focal point of a team that's getting better.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right. The other thing is the Big East this weekend. Three ranked teams playing
at home. Wait. Who's your other snub? You had two snubs.
Oh, Isaiah Stewart at Washington. I think he's really good. I don't like their team, but I think he's really good. Doesn't work for you? Do you have a snub? I mean, like, come on.
I don't even know the list. I don't look. Is Xavier Simpson on the list?
No.
Probably not a snub by now. I was going to say, if he's on the list and Mooney isn't, that's not a snub. I haven't looked at the list. I was too busy.
All right. Well, you should have stayed up late to watch family and friends only watch the top 20 Wendy's Wooden Watch show that Fonz and myself and John Brickley did. I'm disappointed you didn't save that
one.
Yeah,
I missed that one.
You know, look, to me, Garza, Pritchard, Powell, I mean, you know, you can say who you want. Obi Toppin. Let me give you another one. So the Big East.
Yes.
Three nationally ranked teams.
Yeah.
Three really good teams. Three teams that played high level. They all lose at home. Explain it to me.
I'll explain Butler. Butler never beats Providence. You know how some teams, Seth, some teams have your number.
You had mine.
I had yours on the one deal. Yeah.
Yeah, by one, on a tip in.
Yeah.
Cheated.
I just think, not bitter. I just think that some teams do. And I'm telling you, I remember saying on my show all week, Butler fans, you know what? This is the toughest game of the year because Ed Cooley, I think Butler's like 2-11 against Providence. They just never do. I can't explain the other one because I thought Villanova was playing pretty good, Seth. Did you? I mean, I thought they were.
Yeah, I like Villanova a lot.
Time of year, what do you make? Time of year, guys not paying. You know, it used to be hard in Indiana. You want this? This is a funny deal. In the state of Indiana, there's always a weekend in February where the weather's really nice. And I swear to God, Seth, in Indiana, you get locked into your basketball world, meaning it's dark, it's gray, it's awful. You show up at practice, it's dark, it's gray, it's awful. You go home, it's nighttime. You go to class, it's dark, it's gray, it's awful. Then all of a sudden, it's nice. I swear, the day Coach Knight threw his chair, whenever year that was, 84, it was a beautiful day. And weird things happen in Indiana when the weather is nice in February, and one of them was Butler getting their brains beat out. I don't know if they got their brains beat out, but they got beat. So there you go.
We're going to go back to Coach Knight in a second, all right? Xavier. I like this Xavier team. To me, I mean, they get a good win against Seton Hall, but I mean, like, you look at their front court and you talk about a physical front court. Like, Xavier's a team that, you know, they're a bubble team. They get in the tournament. They might be a dangerous team. Of course, Marshall and Tyreek Jones are tough. If they could get consistent guard play, they pitch it around all over the place. What's your take on that? Because I know your former assistant's the head coach.
Yeah, Travis is doing a good job there. I watched them lose to Marquette, Seth, and it was the damnedest thing. You know, I turned the game on. It was kind of late in the game, and there's no Marcus Howard. None. He's out. And next thing you know, this thing keeps going back and forth, and Xavier can't get a stop, and then they start getting stops. And as you said, they just made bad decisions. They made really bad decisions up until the end when Jones had a chance at about a 15-footer, and he tried to throw a pass. Time ran out when he was passing at a wide-open 15-footer. Decisions, I was thinking about this after the game. It ended late, and I was just up kind of making notes. How important are decisions in basketball? You think about it. Every time you take a dribble towards the basket, you got to make a decision. You throw the ball to a big guy with 0.8 seconds to go. You know what? It's almost like you got to tell him, hey, I have got to tell you, shoot the ball. Hey, guys, both of you, I'm sorry, but if I don't go to the bathroom, I'm going to crap myself right here. I'll be right back.
Only one person could do that. That was unbelievable. I mean, that was unbelievable. There's only one way to describe it. I mean, only my man is the only one that could do that.
He felt like he was building to, like, he was just continuing to get more and more fired up, but it was really, he just had to use the bathroom.
Just couldn't deal with it. Couldn't deal with it. That was freaking incredible.
Now I'm back and feel a lot right, better, so, Seth Greenberg.
Let me tell you, Seth, D-Squared, that, you talk about a quick getaway. Thank goodness, because I know you've got 3 hours of radio today, and I think it might be a little messy. But we were talking about Xavier and, you know, your former assistant. I just look at their team, and they are physical. They're athletic. They're mature. They're tough. How does a guy like that, you know, second year head coach, how does he handle pressure? Like, you know, I mean, like we all have pressure.
Seth, isn't that like, that's where I listen to guys in the media. Maybe they've been an assistant coach or, you know, maybe they've been, you know, an ops guy somewhere and they have a blog or whatever. And I say, man, that's great. You can X and O, but when you're in your second year, third year, and it's not going your way, you hear it. Like Xavier is, as you know, is a basketball crazy place. The Cintas Center, as nice a place as there is, the history there in the NCAA tournament, damn near as good as anybody's. Travis hears it. And you get tested hard as a couple of things. As an adult, meaning you have to be the adult in the room. You have to be the leader. Mm-hmm. And you get tested. Your players get tested because they form little groups and packs. One guy complaining is never the only guy. And he's got to have great assistance. He's got to have great belief in what he's doing to get through this, because I think, Seth, if they can get through and start playing better, this is a team that could be as good as any by the time we reach the selection Sunday. It's also a team that if they don't, could be looking outside. Like I said, I watched them against Marquette, and there's no reason for them to lose that game without, you know, Marcus Howard in the game, and they just – they didn't give it away. Marquette took it, but that's a game you got to win, and they weren't tough enough to do it. Telling game, in my opinion.
I agree, and I go back to February. If you don't have your locker room in control, all right, you have no chance. Like to me, you're in the month of February. You're in league play. It's the second time through. It's harder to score baskets. You're traveling. There's more pressure. Each game means more. Let me tell you something. If you don't have a good locker room, you have no chance.
All right.
But the pressure of it is brutal.
Yeah. And that's where it gets tested. You can think you have a good locker room. You can have a good locker room in November, December, all that. But man, oh man, you lose a couple. I want to ask you a question. You ready?
I'm ready.
Does San Diego State go undefeated?
Yeah, I think they do go undefeated. San Diego State is a little Butler-esque to me. Like, you look at San Diego. So first of all, they have the DNA of a Final Four team for the last 4 years. Experienced guards. They got elite guard Malachi Flynn. That guy's really, really good. He can score it when he needs to. He can distribute it. He's tough. He's got legitimate size. They've got 3 fifth-year guys, which is really important. As we know, they've got maturity. Yanni Wetzel's a pretty tough matchup. The Mitchell kid can really, really shoot it. They stretch you out. They run you off the three. They don't turn it over. They turn you over. They rebound the ball on the defensive end. They're very, very well coached, and they've got balance offensively, defensively.
Here's what I look at.
San Diego State is for real.
Here's what I look at. This time of year, away games. At Air Force, at Boise, and then the last one is at Nevada with a crazy place. The home games, New Mexico seems to have imploded a bit. UNLV's just okay. Colorado State's all right. So the schedule is set up. I look at that game at Nevada. I always say this, Seth. Weird things happen in league last Saturday of the year. Weird, weird, weird things. I look at that and say, you know what? Steve Alford, Nevada, not great. But I would think if that place is going to be jumping and Steve will have them ready, that's going to be a tough one. That's the only one I see them losing, if possibly losing. I'm not saying they're going to possibly.
So they're going defeated, automatic number one seed.
I think so. Let me ask you.
They go one in the West. So does Gonzaga, they put Gonzaga two in the West? Or do you think Gonzaga, you know, Gonzaga's got a tough game coming up. They got to go to BYU.
Yes.
And that is a hard place to play.
Jersey Joe Lenardi says right now BYU is a 7 seed. I think that's a ridiculously hard place to play. And don't let those Mormons fool you, man. They got the miles of a Gary, Indiana steel worker. I don't want to hear about how they're freaking, you know, they're not reading the Book of Mormon, man. They're reading the Book of Expletives. They'll treat you nice. And then as soon as that ball goes up, man, they're crushing you, crushing you. The hard place.
There's nothing worse than that. It was like, I opened up the arena at Campbell one year when I was at Tech. I did it, for Robbie Lang, who was the head coach here. He was a really good guy. So, you know, before the game, Campbell's a very religious school. Before the game, they say a prayer. I said, wow, that's unbelievable. They say a prayer before a game. I'm not totally in accordance with it, but I mean, I guess that's what they want to do. They're blessing the building, blessing this and blessing that. All right. After the prayer, they do the introductions. And then all of a sudden, there's like five guys sitting behind me going, F you, Greenberg.
Yeah, I said, baby.
Peace, love, rock and roll, brother. It was unbelievable. But, all right, I'm going to give you another one. Cole Anthony. I'm going to make a little rough. Like Cole Anthony's talented. He has no understanding how to play with others. He has no understanding of what a good shot is. He has no understanding of pace, time, score. In fact, it got to the point yesterday where, Roy Williams took him off the ball and put the ball back in Leaky Black's hands. 17 missed shots. Shot selection wasn't good. I know he's trying hard. I know he wants to win. You know, all those things. I'm not saying he's not a good kid. I'm not saying that he doesn't have some talent. But we are unrealistic to thinking maybe it's this year. Like, Cole Anthony's a nice player, but he doesn't know how to play.
Seth, I don't want to rip a kid who's trying to come back. He doesn't have to come back.
Oh, yeah, I love that he's coming back. Player,
you know what I mean? But it's a little like what we got here with Victor Oladipo coming back. I mean, you got to know how to play with guys, and you haven't played with them. And I think that Roy Williams said it. He doesn't think his team's getting better. A week ago, I was all bullish on him. And you know what? It really was a bad week, I thought, Seth, for North Carolina. They don't know where they're at, right? I mean, where are they? What are they? Are they throw it inside? Are they a Cole Anthony led? Are they? I do think this. I think Roy Williams overstated it a bit. When he said, what did he say about Anthony's the best guard I've coached or most talented or whatever he said? I get it. You recruit the kid. It comes down late. He chooses you over, you know, Kentucky, Duke, whatever. But I don't see it. I don't see the jet quickness. I don't see, as you said, the shot selection. We said it earlier in this podcast. Every time you dribble, a decision has to be made, and I don't see great decision making. And isn't that a big part of guard play?
Well, do you make anyone else better? Look, I think the kid's talented. There's no doubt he's got talent, and I really have a ton of respect that he's come back and
played,
especially because they're not a very good team right now, and that he wants to come back and he loves the game and he all those stuff. I think that's great. I mean, it speaks volumes, but. Let's just talk about it. You know, our job is to have an opinion and analyze. And like, I look at him, is he a point guard? Is he a two guard? I call him ball guard. Is he trying too hard? For sure. Does he want to win? For sure. But the lack of trust he has in his teammates and his decision making, you said decision making, I think it's a key word. His decision making was not good. And, you know, and I think that's why Roy put the ball in Leaky Black's hands. And I mean, that's something he's got to learn. So, I mean, I respect that he's come back. I know he has some talent. This is a historically bad draft. Let's be honest about it. I mean, when people talk about Anthony Edwards being the number one pick, I can't find one thing that he does great. I think he's a good player. So, I mean, to me, I have tons of respect for Cole Anthony. But, I mean, if you just look at the way he's playing and has played since the Notre Dame game, let's be honest, it isn't just now. He's a nice player, but he doesn't have a very good understanding of how to get other people involved and make the game easier for others.
Yeah, and let's be clear, that's not North Carolina's only problem. I mean,
right? They got much bigger problems than Cole Anthony. He's the least of their problems.
Probably. Can I tell you? Can we go back to something because I just looked this up? I am hostile right now. That Kamar Baldwin.
I hate when you're hostile.
I know. Kamar Baldwin wasn't on the midseason watch. The kid from Butler isn't on the top 20 watch. I look at some of these guys on there, and I'm not going to mention because everybody on there probably deserves to be on there. But I would tell you there is a difference between a guy that makes your team win which is what he does, and a guy that's good enough to get you fired. And there's a couple guys on this top 20 list that are good enough to get you fired, meaning the AD doesn't understand why you're not number one, two, or three in the league. Cause hey, we got this guy. Kamar Baldwin should be on that list is all I'm saying. Sorry.
I agree with you. He's on my, well, you know what? I agree with you. He's on my Mariano Rivera team. I mean, right. I got my old Mariano, my closer team, and he and Peyton Pritchard, they're right on top of that thing. So I agree with that. I'm going to throw a couple games and then we'll close this thing up because you have magic to make.
Yes.
Mississippi State, Kentucky. Obviously Auburn. Great scene at Auburn. Unbelievable. Bruce Pearl. He's the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey of college basketball. Gets down, does a push up, kisses the A, leads him in cheers. But his team plays their tails off, and it was hard to get an easy bucket. Isaac Okoro absolutely attacked them. Kentucky, does Kentucky bounce back against Reggie Perry and Mississippi State today?
Mississippi State's playing well, man. Reggie Perry can go get it in the bucket. You know what the over-under is on points for Reggie Perry tonight?
I'd say he's going to get to the offensive glass, so I'm going to say it is 18.
19 and a half. That's a lot of points against a Kentucky team that's pretty athletic. I do think that Kentucky bounces back. I thought they got a bad whistle. I'm not saying it's what cost them the game, but I think Kentucky does bounce back. Yes.
They needed a better crew on that game. I mean, I thought that was
John Adams.
Knew that was going to be a highly contested game. I was surprised that crew, besides Joe Lindsay was on that game.
Mm-hmm.
Besides him, he didn't have a veteran crew in that game.
John Adams, former longtime head of officials, said the same thing on Twitter.
Oh, really? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. All right. Ohio State, Michigan. Big game for both teams. Both teams win two in a row. Have both teams found kind of their identity again? I actually think Ohio State has.
I'm not ready to say that. I think Justin Arns has come in and give him a shot with 3-point shooting, made four against Northwestern. Mm-hmm. I kind of like where Michigan against Rutgers. I thought they were much better. You know, the whole thing was Xavier Simpson. I'm going to take Michigan tonight, but I'm not as sold yet on Ohio State. I just think Ohio State is so make or miss, Seth. It's crazy to me. It's, you know, and the thing about Michigan, though, their post defense got awful. Caleb Wesson, if he gets comfortable down there, could go for 20. And if he does, I think Ohio State wins. If he doesn't go for 20, I think Ohio State loses a close one.
And Michigan's defense just in general has not been good in league play. And, you know, Ohio State, if you just look at their numbers, efficiency-wise, offensively, they're pretty good. And, you know, obviously they're dealing with the DJ Carton situation, and our thoughts go out to that kid. That kid is obviously to be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I got to clean some things up. Much respect. And,
yeah.
And just the manner in which the whole thing was dealt, and you know, our thoughts are with him. And I think it's important that I said this the other day, the amount of pressure these young kids are under today, and they are kids. They're 18-year-old kids. They're not men. We call them men. They're not men yet. And we can say all we want about they need to get paid, but like the from social media to peer pressure, the pressure from your family, always under a microscope, unrealistic expectation. I am so happy that young man reached out and said, you know what, there are some things I've got to deal with, and that's more important than any game or anything else. And I just a lot of respect and a lot of thoughts for him.
Yeah, and so
I got to get that out.
I've talked numerous times about Chris Holtmann. Chris Holtmann worked with DJ Carton for the last couple of weeks. This is not a one, you know, all of a sudden I woke up one day and DJ and Chris and the whole, he'll get, I had a very prominent doctor, a friend of mine said, you know, and he works at Indiana as a heart guy. And he's like, look, one thing about these Big Ten schools, he will absolutely get the help if he wants it. You know, if you don't want the help, then what do you, you know, but he'll absolutely have everything available to him that he needs. And that's great for Chris and his staff.
All right, last thing. I'm not even going to get into Merrill and Rutgers, although Stick Smith is playing really well right now.
He is
balling. He's rebounding, blocking shots. Rutgers, I love their team. They're like a throwback team. Last thing we're going to close it on. There is a rumor that Coach Knight will be there this week in Assembly Hall to see Indiana play. I know you have a lot of thoughts on this. I'm going to lay out No. The floor is yours.
I talked to a number of people involved, including Gene Cady. Apparently, Coach Cady told me that he and Coach Knight will be at the Pacers game. It's called Basketball Day in Indiana. They're going to walk out together at halftime. Everybody's lying to me, Seth. Two former players that I respect, I asked them, is Coach Knight coming? One guy said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And then 5 minutes later in a conversation, he told me how he was trying to get there, except he's got a game that day. Another former player that I respect, I said, yo, Coach Knight coming? He goes, well, all I know is they're honoring the 80 championship team. Coach Knight, if this is a big if, I talked to his doctor, I talked to his one of his best friends, who is his doctor, said, look, tentatively, yes. It's up to whether his wife Karen thinks it's best for him to be there. I know Dickie V's been working. I know that people are excited around here for the possibility. So the answer is a definite maybe. But by all accounts, again, according to Coach Katie to me earlier in the week, they're going to for sure be at the Pacer game that night for halftime. They're being honored to have Basketball Day in Indiana. My bet is Coach Knight comes to the game in Bloomington. That's just my bet, but literally I don't have a relationship with him, so I don't know. But I'm giving you the best intel that I got.
All right. I'm going to give my 2 cents. Here's my thing. Enough is enough. All right. Like what happened. He needs to show up. He needs to have Quinn Buckner sit next to him. Doesn't need to make a big appearance. Have him stand up, wave to the crowd, have closure, and then move on. And this thing, I mean, and I understand his wife and all our wives are overprotective of us. There's no doubt about it. And there's bitterness and hurt and all that jazz. But he didn't move back to Bloomington, Indiana, if he didn't eventually want to have his one day and have it and have some closure so that he can walk away knowing that he had that day. That's just my opinion. I don't know what agree, disagree. I'd like to see it happen. I think, you know, you stick him next to Quinn Buckner and maybe another player, Scott May, whomever you want to stick him next to, let him be with his guys in that moment in time and have that moment.
Agreed. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, it's like Garbo, man. He's everybody's talking around him and he's not, except for he did earlier in this year. Yeah, you know, part of me says, look, Indiana told him to go away. He went away. Now you want him back? All right. I mean,
it's good for him now.
Yeah, I don't know. The health situation, I asked the doctor. He's like, yeah, not so sure it is. And again, I don't think Karen, his wife, is going to make the decision based on bitterness. I think it's kind of more a health thing. I asked, you know, what does closure mean for fans? I don't know what all that means. I just know this. I just know that it would be good for people in Indiana feel like they just want to say thank you, goodbye, whatever, and that would be good for them. If it's good for him, I hope he does it. If it's not good for him, I hope he doesn't do it. But this thing about him showing up at other games, showing up at Purdue events, I think he's going to be at the Ohio State game a couple weeks from now, is nonsense. If you're going to do it, just come back to Indiana and let's stop, as you just said. Let's go. You know what I mean? Let's go.
I'm with you.
There
you
go.
All right. Well, there you go. It doesn't get better than that.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.